manager is hard. How do I know? Because I spent the last week playing the Dirty Cop Manager Sim This Is the Police for our latest episode. And if manager sims teach us anything, it's that being the boss comes with a high price. Sure, you get a fancy office and the respect of everyone at the nightclub, but you're responsible for real human lives, for the well-being of your staff and the community at large, for a brighter, better future. And it's more likely than not you'll have to sell a little of your soul, outsource a little of your morality, and turn a blind eye to some things you should be looking at just to make it to your three-quarters life crisis in one piece. But hey, this is the police. And I'm Julia. And this is Controller Freak. In This Is the Police, you play as Police Chief Jack Boyd, finishing out your final days on the force in Freeburg, a truly awful fictional American city. At least, I hope it's fictional. You're getting old and jaded, and you're navigating the delicate art of working with the mafia, balancing the department budget within City Hall, and trying to find your wife and rebuild your family. Unfolding in the style of a film noir graphic novel spliced with gameplay where you manage your police lineup as they respond to emergencies, you'll be faced with questions like who to hire and fire, which crime lord to satisfy, and how much of your reputation you're willing to sacrifice just to live another day. In the background, a narrative of betrayal and mystery unfolds, and it seems like your life and your city may be just one bad move away from falling apart. And above everything looms the question of right and wrong, and just whether or not those words mean anything anymore to Chief Jack Boyd, or to us, the players. Welcome back to Controller Freak. I am Julia, here with Owen and Aaron. Game we are reviewing this week is This Is the Police, where police finally get to tell their side of the story. Right, guys?
That's right.
Yeah, This Is the Police.
This Is the Police. A game I keep almost calling We Are the Police, but we've sort of discussed this. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's close.
It's all about that police reflection, reflecting who they are. They are the police.
You know, in France, this game's called Police, C'est Moi.
Yes, that's right. But it is a weird game, huh, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And Owen, you found this game, so thanks to you.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
And how the hell did you do that?
I think I was just scrolling through the Nintendo store. The description was like, you play as a police chief, Jack Boyd, and you run your police department. You have officers, and you send them out on calls, and you, like, make hiring and firing decisions, and, like, you're working with City Hall, and you get involved in, you know, the mafia, and this whole story. It's a weird game, if nothing else, just for, like, the mechanics of it. Like, the whole game is really, you're just looking at a big map, and you're sending people out on calls, and you decide who you want to send. I guess you're, like, trying to, like, balance your budget and, like, and not piss too many people
off. Balance your budget. I guess you are. You do a fair amount of balancing.
Yeah, well, the things you do, they affect your, like, department budget. Like, you're just getting memos every day, but, like, your budget's been slashed again because you didn't do all the things you're supposed to do.
Yeah, I think we have learned a lot about police work from this game. Most notably that politics is everything in police work.
Yeah, I guess so.
And, you know, the bureaucracy is a beast that you do have to contend with. You can't beat it, so you kind of need to join it.
Right, because the game starts with you are this police chief, and you're about to step down as chief because the mayor is replacing you with somebody else, right?
Yes, yeah.
And you're old. You're older.
Yeah, you're a six-year-old man. Mm-hmm. Not in the best shape.
No.
And he's decided that it's your time to go. And the mayor's kind of a shitbag, you know? And as you find out more and more over the course of the game, he's, like, not a good guy. But at the beginning, he's just...
Of course
he's
not.
Sleazy old mayor.
Yeah.
And he wants to replace you with, I think, somebody related to him. It's... Yeah. So anyway, you know that you're on the way out.
Guys, question. Is a mayor in a game ever not the villain? That just occurred to me. That's,
Yeah, I think movies in, you know, literature too. Aren't there a lot of evil mayors?
Yes, totally. Yeah. Superhero movies. Aren't the mayors always giving, making the hero very hard to get funding? He can never fund his enterprise.
Giuliani.
Giuliani.
One of history's most notorious villains.
That's true.
Forget fiction.
You know, there's only one mayor that I can think of who isn't the villain in fiction, and that's because I was tweeted about him today. His name's Jean Valjean.
You tweeted about him today?
Yeah, I did.
You tweeted about Jean Valjean today?
Yeah, I tweeted from the official Controller Freak Twitter about a Hanzo Overwatch fan art somebody made where he's, like, old but, like, super ripped.
Wait, Hanzo?
Yeah, Hanzo. I think it's, like, off of his new, like, Lunar New Year skin.
Jesus.
And so I made a comment that he looked like ripped old Jean Valjean. And I said, 10 out of 10, could lift runaway wagon.
Mm-hmm. Wait, 24601.
24601.
I have to just... Jean Valjean was mayor? Does that happen in Lightmas?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yes.
All right.
After he, like, sort of loses his identity and reinvents himself completely, he becomes Monsieur Le Maire.
Monsieur Le Maire.
It's been a minute since I saw that show.
Well.
This is the police.
Right. Javert is the police.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Now that, I could see stars being worked into this.
I would love it if in this game the mafia came to him was like, you're going to help us whether you like it or not. And he's like, my duty is to God. Wow.
Oh, my God. Guys, we got deeper and farther than I thought we were capable of doing with this game already.
This sort of touches, though, one thing that just early on to set the scene. It is definitely like a manager sim, like a police manager sim in some
meets
ways.
Meets the wire.
Meets the wire. Meets, like, yeah, like a morality thing. It's like a morality manager, too. Because there's no morality system, but it does challenge you, like, you know, you are a dirty cop. It basically forces you to be one. But how dirty? Now that you're a corrupt cop, like, are you just fucking gone? Are you going to do whatever? Or are you going to try to make, like, a good policeman out of being a dirty cop? So it presents challenges, I think, on both fronts. Like, red tape, yes, you have to deal with City Hall. But you also have to deal with, like, am I the kind of corrupt cop that sends his cops to their deaths? Or do I just sell a bag of coke every so often, you know? Which is whatever else about the game that we say, I do think that's interesting.
Yeah, if there is a thesis to this game, maybe it has to do with morality. And, like, choosing how you walk the line between keeping your job, protecting the people you can. And by protecting some people, you put others in danger. And by putting some in danger, you protect others you care about. And it comes down to your decisions, kind of. You do make choices in this game.
The first thing you see is like your guy, Jack Boyd, who, by the way, is played by a guy named John St. John. And he did the voice of Duke Nukem
The voice of Duke Nukem?
Yeah. The game starts out, the first thing you see is, like, this grizzled monologue from him being like, before I like to go and shake my ass in front of the cameras or whatever, right?
Yes.
I like to see how the professionals do it. Like, as he's going into a strip club or something.
Yeah, and you're like, okay.
Some might say the chief of police has no business in an institution like this. But in fact, it's the quietest and safest place in town.
You start working with the mafia, and you have to choose whether you, like, start doing favors for this mob boss, Mr. Sand, right?
Yeah.
Christopher Sand?
Mm-hmm.
I played through this game a couple times. The first time, I didn't do anything for the mafia. I was like, no, fuck this guy. I'm going to be a good cop. And then I was just gunned down in my living room one day, and I couldn't really reload.
Mm-hmm.
Or I sort of tried, but I think I was screwed. So I was like, okay, so this game didn't really give me much of a choice on what I want to do. I have to be bad. I have to be at least a little bit corrupt.
Right.
So I went back and I tried it again, being corrupt, and it's like, what am I supposed to feel here? They're not giving me much of a choice, and maybe that's the point? Is it you're supposed to feel trapped?
Yeah. I felt like the game was making me walk a very narrow line. and I had to decide what I was willing to compromise on and what I wasn't. I had to compromise some, or else I'd get shot in my living room, or one of these various factions that's sort of controlling my actions is going to get too pissed at me, and I'm gonna be kicked out as chief. And so you have to sort of do this game of, okay, I'm going to do this awful thing to appease the mayor. I'm going to do this other awful thing. I'm not going to respond to a murder call because the mob doesn't want me to. But I am going to do the rest of my job really, really well. And I'm going to do it by the book or something. Whatever your personal moral thing is, it allows you to, I think, go either, you know, deeper and deeper into this, these forces pulling you away from the center of your job, which is supposed to be like, I'm protecting the city. Or you can become like this guy who's just in it for the cash, who like, I'm going to make as much money as I can, then I'm going to get out. Like,
It's weird because you do get to sort of like calibrate that balance, right? Yeah. But they do set you up with like a pretty strong, significant backstory. So they give you some idea of who Jack Boyd is and like what he's dealing with. Mm-hmm. But then they're sort of like, okay, his last year of morality is kind of up to you. Like, does he go off the handle or not?
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I found, not that you have to put a lot of commitment in this, but I was like cross-referencing with who I thought Jack Boyd was before I met him. I mean, he's got 40 years on the job or something, you know?
Well, and I don't know, it sort of develops as the game goes along. And I didn't get to the end of the game. But
yes, we should all say
right. I don't that think none any of us did. Right.
Which is a really hard game to get through.
And it's longer than it seems like it's gonna
be.
At the beginning, it's like, okay, this is gonna take me 15-20 hours. Yeah. And like,
if you thought Persona was long,
Which is not a bad thing. But like, I'm realizing as I go that the who Jack Boyd is being sort of revealed incrementally, and he's actually like a better guy than I thought he was. Like, at the beginning, I was like, okay, this is a typical corrupt, like, sleazy cop, like, and you're going to control the ways in which he is corrupt and sleazy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's being revealed slowly that he has these ideals, and that, like, other people think he's, like, a really, like, awesome chief. Like, people in the prosecutor's office are like, oh, yeah, Jack Boyd's, like, a straight shooter, you know? And the fact that you're not now, like, gives you sort of shame, because you've been operating on the assumption that you're just this sleazy cop.
Right. I don't buy this whole thing that he was a purist before that.
He's also he's got a barn and he's got pills in his
right,
barn,
he has a pill.
Right, he's an addict. Popper. He's an addict.
Yeah. He's an addict.
I can't believe that.
His wife left him.
Laura.
Yes. For a 30-year-old insurance salesman.
Right.
And her mother, so your mother-in-law, mm-hmm. Is helping you to track her down, mm-hmm. is as far as I've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know more?
Yes.
What?
Well, I can go on a little spoiler tear right now. I'm not sure if it'll add too much,
okay.
but yes, an assailant attacks you and you're sort of led to believe that maybe your mother-in-law sent him.
Okay.
You go into a fucking coma for about 20 days.
Ooh.
And you wake up.
That's cool.
And you have like a midlife crisis. You're like, what am I fucking doing? And you get a new haircut and like all this shit. You buy a new car. You get to choose that's out which cool. Which sunglasses you want. There's a rack of, they have this rack of three shitty sunglasses that it's like, you got a new car. Like, congratulations. And it's like, you got a new haircut. Like, cool, man. And then it shows like three sunglasses, all of which look ridiculous on you. And you to choose, and then Jack Boyd exits the store and he throws them out and he goes, nah, that would be too much. Uh-huh. But you do have like this new haircut from then on, and you're in this like stupid outfit, you're in this new like suit. So anyway, like she sort of drops off of the radar because you give her a call and you're like, I don't know if that was you basically, but stay the fuck away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and I'm gonna find my wife, and when I do, if we ever hear from you again, I'm gonna like, you're out.
Yeah, see, maybe it was just his voice acting, but I never really got much of like that he had strong feelings about Laura. He's like, Laura, why'd she leave? He's like minorly irritated that Laura left him is what I always got from it. Like, he doesn't care. All right. But I imagine the deeper in you get.
You know what? John St. John might have just been making a choice.
Yeah.
There might be more layers to that than we know. But you also might be right. Maybe he doesn't. I got the feeling he's apathetic about a lot of stuff. The voice acting in this game largely is apathetic about most things.
Yeah. The voice acting, like, you have a secretary like Emma.
Oh, yeah, right.
And she's like, Oh, hi, Jack. How did the press conference go?
Oh, really? Well, I thought she was pretty good generally, but
not,
she,
not in that line.
She botched that one a little bit. Yeah.
Hell, if there weren't any rules, I'd be belching and farting, jumping up on the table, arms held high, yelling, shake it, baby.
This is the police.
The tone in general, like, we've talked about it, but, like, I don't know. Can we... I feel like this game should sort of be called Trigger Warning, the game.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because they talk about racism in a way that's, I guess the word is sensationalist. Like, you get called out on these calls, and they're describing what's happening so you know what you're getting into, like, how many cops should I send?
Yeah.
And they describe in detail these, like, pretty elaborate racist epithets that someone has screamed at someone else before they hit him with a bat or something.
Right. Or just like someone in a jewelry store screaming about how they hate Jews.
Right.
And you're like, wow, this is
it would be one thing if it was very, very sparsely scattered through this police game, but it seems to be like
it's a lot.
A main current in what Freeburg is conceived as is a place where race is not okay. And like, I don't know. That was a weird addition to the tone. The other thing, though, is that in addition to the voice acting, which you're right, it's very deadpan, everything is so noir-y that it, like, hurt my head. It's like Dashiell Hammett's having a stroke, and, like, the noiriest neurons in his brain are, like, firing rapidly before they die, and all of the noiriest shit is, like... spraying out on the walls.
Yeah,
it's like Indemnity got ripped apart by cheetahs.
Yeah,
and like different bloody parts from the movie are like splayed up against the walls.
Yeah. But like Chester the cheetah.
Yes, see, because
that's my issue with this game is that like they're starting from an interesting foundation of stuff.
Totally,
but like I don't think the writing is good enough or like sincere enough or just like. I don't buy it, necessarily, and I don't know if I'm supposed to buy it, because I don't know if it's supposed to be funny, always, or not.
Right!
And then the gameplay itself got very repetitive to me pretty quick.
Yeah.
Like, maybe the more you invest in your... I don't know, because it sounds like you, Aaron, maybe you did invest a lot into, like, who you sent out to what call. Like, you paid attention, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I did so much, and I think...
I did.
Oh, really?
I mean,
you did?
I came up with a love story between two of my cops.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Because they were always next to each other in the queue, and I was like...
Was one of them, a SWAT team guy?
No. That would have been way more inspired.
Yeah.
Like there's like two SWAT teamers that are secretly in love, but like you never saw their faces. Yeah. And so I just like, I always sent them out on calls together that were fairly low stakes so that they would never get hurt. Or I like never sent them out and like innocent people died because I didn't want like, what was his name? Cal Russo or something, and Officer Grant to be in harm's way when they had a life ahead of them.
Aww.
And then I was like, whoa, man. You really just, like, Rorschach test. You're really putting your own shit onto this just, kind of blank slate.
Yeah.
Julia inserting a choices narrative into this is the police.
You'll recall last episode, Choices.
You're going to want to listen to Choices.
You're going to want to listen to Choices. It informed how I played This is the Police.
Yeah. A little bit.
It's mostly a love story. You guys, I think I kind of do that with every video game, though.
Yeah. I think if dating sims were, like, more prevalent in this country and, like, more socially acceptable to play in this country, that you would be, like, a dating sim addict.
What?
Yeah, I know where you're...
No.
Yeah.
That's...
I know where your house is. I know...
what you do.
Yeah.
Know your family.
Yeah. BioShock has to stay far away. Choices come right in. Stay a while.
That's true. If BioShock was peppered with, like, dates, Julia would have fucking loved it.
Yeah.
But most of my colleagues are young enough to be my sons, and they'd rather just hire prostitutes. Why stare at some boobs when you can take the whole package for yourself?
So you're saying you don't find him sexy?
Jack Boyd?
Because you like grizzled old men.
Yeah, you think Nixon's
like,
sexy.
Yeah. Well, come on, how could you not?
In many ways you don't have to.
First of all, Nixon has a whole, like, tragic thing going on in his face. Jack Boyd, we don't see his face, we don't know what he looks like, but he's kind of marshmallowy.
You know? Yeah, he's very fat.
He's got kind of a marshmallowy thing going on. He's just kind of like an old white dude. There's nothing... it's not appealing to me.
Yeah.
I don't get
not
tragic.
Not like Nixon.
No.
Yeah, not like that...
So hot.
No.
That Adonis.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a crook, but I am a hunk.
That is literally the text of a dream I had last night. All that is to say, Nixon 1, Jack Boyd 0.
Right.
He doesn't even have a sexy voice. It's like, yeah, you were kind of doing a good imitation of it earlier.
Thank you.
He's kind of, right, yeah, it's kind of like a, they went for noir and they missed and they hit somewhere and cat pee. I don't know. It's very, it's kind of mealy and smells bad. You mean
the writing?
Yes. I mean, and to really set the tone for the writing, should we do the scene that you found, Aaron? Should we really give the
listeners... if there's space for it, yes. I would love to do a reading just to give the listeners an idea of... And, like, this is not to say that all the writing is bad. Like, there's some really, really lovely little jokes in there that I found hilarious. I'm setting this up by saying, like, I liked some of the jokes and, like, a lot of the more whimsical aspects of the writing. And I think they're setting up a lot of really interesting components that I can't wait to see how they pay off. And I will keep playing to see how they pay off. But... by and large, in these cutscenes that you experience, the dialogue, as I said, is so noir-y that it's distracting. Every character speaks like the most hard-boiled private eye. And, like, even in hard-boiled private eye fiction, like, isn't there usually, like, a straight man or woman who's, like, talking to the hard-boiled private eye? Or who has a regular conversation with them? And then in their head, they'll do the, and start metaphoring off.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, this is just so much rammed down your throat.
That it's, like, hard to understand even what is being talked about.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so this scene, just to give you an idea of what this sounds like, I've selected a scene that is one of the cutscenes in the game. There's no spoilers in this cutscene. It's just a restaurateur, an important citizen of Freeburg, has taken Jack Boyd, the police chief, out to a restaurant because he has a proposition for him that he doesn't know. Okay, let's cast this. Who wants to play who?
Can I be Jack?
Yeah, okay. Owen, you're cast as Jack Boyd. You booked it.
I'd be happy to read for waitress.
Okay, I guess that makes me Eugene Chaffee, the restaurateur. Okay, here we go. I'll read stage directions as well.
Thank you.
So, Eugene Chaffee and Jack Boyd enter a, quote, family restaurant. They sit down. Chaffee. Lately, I've been so busy that I rarely get to sit and relax in such a nice place, and with such interesting company.
Get to the point, Mr. Chaffee. I'm busy, too. In fact, I think I hear some teenagers next door robbing and raping an old woman. Maybe she's your aunt.
You see, Mr. Boyd...
Good morning. What do you want?
A big mug of beer.
We don't serve big mugs of beer.
Then a small mug of beer.
We don't serve beer in any size glasses. This is a family restaurant. Moms and dads come here with small children. I could bring you a lollipop to suck on.
Monica, where's your famous charm? Give the gentleman a beer. I'm sure you've got a bottle under the counter. Check between the dead cats and the dried heads of your ex-boyfriends. This man, by the way, is your police chief.
Don't be silly. The police chief has a bald spot the size of a toilet seat.
The end.
Wow.
So what did we learn from that?
Wow. Yeah, that sums it up nicely.
It does. It really does.
It's like everyone in Freeburg is either full of fucking noir metaphors or is a racist shithole.
Yeah. This is family. And am I right in thinking I can bring you a lollipop to suck on is about is sexual in nature?
I think I can't even fucking tell, honestly. I think it's like you're being a baby. Maybe.
Oh, I read that really wrong. Listeners, I'm so sorry.
Or this is a family restaurant.
I will take your direction next time.
A bald spot the size of a toilet seat is such a weird, randomly specific insult.
The size of a toilet seat?
And I get that this waitress is like disinterested and like and like is fed up with her life, but like then she like spouts off this like, you know, I don't know, this bogey, you know, metaphor.
Everyone talks like that. It's very weird.
Right. They're so excited to be noir that the noir is impossible to understand.
And like, does she not believe that he's the police chief?
Well, okay, at this point you've had a makeover, right? You've gone on a shopping spree. It's after your midlife crisis. And so so that's why she's saying he has bald spots, because you've gotten it like a toupee.
Gotcha, okay. And she's like, I'm used to seeing his fuck ugly face in the news.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, now I understand. Were we to do that again, I think we would all nail it a second time.
I thought the cold read was quite good, guys.
You're great.
And thank you for humoring me with that. But that's the hard part for me of this writing. Mm-hmm. The good part is all of these characters pulling on Jack and, like, slowly introducing new gameplay mechanics, and, like, I don't know. I was surprised by the long arc that it seems like they're setting up.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And that's what excites me about the game.
So if you insist, Jack, let us formally meet. Hello, Jack Boyd. I'm Christopher Sand.
In a refreshing plot twist, it's not an Italian mafia, which, as an Italian, I really appreciated. This was like someone else's mafia, you know? And I respect that. Thank you. This is the police. Anyway, yeah, you work for him now. You have to make sure he's going to tell you not to show up at certain locations when they're planning a thing, and you got to remember what those are and not send your boys out.
Which is so hard.
Yeah. Really? I thought that was so easy.
No, I'm with you, Aaron.
I mean, like, what? Some days it was really easy, but, like, some days I would just... And I love imagining, like, a real crooked cop, like, thinking this way, is that the mob, like, sends you a thing being like, we're going to have something going down at Fortuna Bank at 2:30, like, don't send any cops.
Yeah.
And me being like, sure, man, like, we have an understanding. And then, like, eating lunch and being like, it's a good burger. And then, like, coming back from lunch, and then the call coming in from Fortuna Bank being like, send cops, quick, like, somebody's robbing the bank. And me being like, get those cops out. Like,
yeah.
A bank robbery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
send all the cops.
Yeah,
and then
send,
like,
a paddy wagon out there.
It's slowly dawning on me later, like, Fortuna Bank. Why does it sound familiar?
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, you get an angry letter from Sam being like, Jack, we don't know why you did it.
We'll never know.
Your fucking ass. And then they start sending you, like, scarecrows in the mail to, like,
with, like,
you.
Knives. Yeah, and being like,
I don't know what I'm. Oh, right, because I sent guys to the bank
to
and
the
I wasn't
bank,
supposed
they
to
told
do that.
Not to. God damn it.
It was 2:30, not 3:30. Stupid, man. Stupid, Jack.
This wasp.
You're like a Clouseau version of, like,
corrupt cop. Yeah.
Like, corrupt cop.
And Sam's guys are like, this boss, maybe he's just an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they give you 3 shots, I think. Because maybe let's give him the benefit of the doubt, boss.
He just got the time wrong, boss.
Exactly.
He just
right.
Got time.
Give him one more day.
I like Owen's impression.
Sorry, they're Italian again.
We just went over this, Owen.
But now I just officially became a mafia whore. I'm supposed to be fearing for my life.
I guess the next plot point to mention is that then you have a choice to work with Sands or work for Vargas, who is a guy you meet outside of your bar one night, who I thought was like, a law guy. I thought he was like a detective who was like gonna take, but it seems to me that he is also mafia, just a different mafia.
Yeah.
He's like a young upstart psycho mafia.
Right.
And like Sand is like old. It's basically evil versus crazy. Like, do you want young crazy or do you want old?
You have to choose
evil.
Who you pick. And for me, it was like, well, I guess Sand is the devil, you know, so I'm gonna go with him.
Oh,
nice. I chose to help Vargas. But the way that you do this is that you have to be discreet, right? So that Sand doesn't just kill you. And so you have to, over the course of this gang war, you have to make sure that Sand isn't behind too often. And the game gave me such a comprehensive, like, tutorial at first that it was like, okay, the gang war is going to last for this long. You have to make sure that Sand isn't behind for more than 3 days, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, great, you're going to hold my hand through all this then. And so I tried to follow their instructions, but I didn't keep track of the time. And Sand ended up winning the gang war. But he never knew that I betrayed him, so it was like nothing happened. It was like I chose Sam.
Yeah.
You're a simple policeman no longer, Jack. Don't turn off your phone. You start today.
You're a manager. It's a work simulator, like we talked about.
Yeah.
So you are constantly dealing with employment, like people coming in, calling out, promoting people, like giving them their stripes.
Yeah.
And in that way, you sort of feel what it feels like to advocate for someone's professional career. Like, I had officers that I was very attached to because they did great work.
Oh, and I
wanted to see them move through the ranks, and I gave them their stripes, and it gave them more confidence in return. And then one or two of them got gunned down, and it was like a really personal blow for me because I invested so much in them. But anyway, all that is to say,
yeah,
there's a lot of, like, employment-related, interpersonal, like, mentor dynamics that go on.
Yeah, and then the rest of the time, your officer's just like, yeah, I gotta feed my fish. Can I go home?
Right. Right.
You're like, fine, but come in tomorrow.
It seems they give you two veins of excuses. Yeah. One are perfectly reasonable, like, and borderline,
or I drank
like,
too
really
much.
Fucking
I get,
sad. Yeah, my dad's hitting my mom, I need to go deal with it. And you're like, yeah, take the day, take the week, yeah. Jesus. And sometimes they give you something that is just like they're reading a book. Do you guys know the weirdest excuse I heard? Did either of you? I'm interested to see if you got this. Either of you, because I did not. This came out of the blue. So there was a day where like three of my people had excuses. And one of them was like, my cat ate something bad for her and she has diarrhea. Can I go home? And I was like, no.
No, thumbs down. Okay.
No, thumbs down. Okay. Someone was like, I'm tired. I've been up all night. Can I go home? I was like, no, thumbs down.
Oh, people are always fucking tired.
Fucking tired. Yeah. Like, that's life. Get over it. Get to work.
You're working double shift tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The third person came up to me and said this. I've been taking an antidepressant and I mixed up the dosage. I'm really feeling the effects of this and I need a day to get my head together. What?
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
What?
Thumbs up or down? Did you let him?
Yeah, totally. I was like, listen, you don't want to fuck up your meds. You need to take them.
Yeah.
But also just like, don't be an idiot. Like, write down the dosage in your phone. Yeah. Don't forget it. Don't let this happen again or I'll fire you.
I got that one and I was like... Fuck off, man.
You said you made that poor depressed cop come to work? Yeah. Are you crazy?
Sounds made up to me.
I had already let fucking Fischenbach go the next town over to fix his car. And so, like, I was low. Like, you gotta stay.
You let someone go fix their car, but a clinically depressed man had to come to work.
They got to be first. If the clinically depressed guy came to me first... I would have given them the day off, but I already let one cop go. I know that I'm low. I know that I got to do mafia shit today and keep Freeburg from destroying itself via a race war.
Jack Boyd, you're a monster.
I'd want to call his doctor and just make sure it's true.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, I don't think they're going to talk to you, but, you know. You know, because of HIPAA laws and stuff. But anyway.
Well, call someone else then, maybe.
Maybe the mayor can do some
snooping, find out.
Maybe the mayor knows someone.
See if they're pulling one over on you. Because you don't know who to trust in Freeburg. This is Freeburg.
This is Freeburg. Okay? Forget it, kid. It's Freeburg.
Yeah.
I do like, speaking of HIPAA laws and circumventing HIPAA laws, I do like the different ways that the game allows you to, like, pay money to do extra legal activities for, like, a certain risk. Like, whenever if you want to fire a cop, say you have to fire a cop because City Hall's like, you got to get rid of all the cops of a certain race because City Hall's super racist. You can fire those cops legitimately if they come in drunk or they, like, screw up a job or they're too old, which I'm not sure is a legitimate reason to fire somebody, but in Freeburg, apparently, it is.
No way.
Or you can fire them illegally and you can sort of set up evidence that exculpates you, or you can get a legal challenge from them if you fire them illegally. You can have them killed via the mafia. You can send them into a fake, like, police trap.
Right.
Right. There's a lot of different ways you can deal with your problem. That's sort of what I meant about the morality, like, scale. It's cool that within this universe of, okay, I'm a corrupt cop, I'm gonna fire this guy for no reason. How do I do it? How do I solve that problem? Do I solve that problem?
Is it possible the conclusion is at the very end, and none of us know how the game feels about race, because it's at the very, very
absolutely.
End?
Absolutely.
Jack Boyd speaks to God, and he tells you the meaning of life.
And God is like,
yes.
Jack, all this hatred.
Yeah. Can you believe this game was 120 hours long? Didn't expect that, did you,
we Jack? We really gave you your $15 worth, didn't we, Jack?
Stay tuned for This Is the Police 2.
Out now.
Speaking of that, do we know anything about This Is the Police 2? Because I haven't even looked into it yet, but I know it's there.
I can only imagine. I'm sure it's not good.
I think it got generally less favorable reviews than this one.
Right, so this one got favorable reviews.
I think generally favorable.
And you can see it is playable and fun, but I'm not sure what we're grasping onto in terms of tone. I think that's our review, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Can we talk about one thing that makes it even weirder?
Sure.
What's the deal with the music? So you get to put on a record every time you start your day as a police officer.
And you have a choice between like
six different records. You have the ability to unlock more. In one scene, your therapist is like, you should get some Beethoven because you're really stressed out.
Right,
like, I don't know how that works because Beethoven's like the most stressful classical music you could possibly listen to. She should have said get, you know, more Chopin or whatever. But... Right,
we used to do math to Beethoven and, like, Mozart.
That's supposed to help us. Yes, Mozart does help with math.
Because I think there was a thing in, like, the 80s and 90s where, like, parents were like, if you blast Mozart at your kids,
you'll get fucking smart.
Yes, my mom did that. You can
fucking pass Algebra 2.
My mom did that to me and my sister. She used to play it in the hallway.
Like, yeah, that'll do it.
Asleep.
Yeah.
And I did not get any smarter. It's just I didn't sleep.
No. Like, what pop psychologist, like, was like, your children will, if you blast this at your womb, your baby will come out with a little fucking monocle and be like, Mama.
Someone with an unproven, like, just hunch, I think. Yeah. Just a whimsical, acid-tripping 1980s therapist, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, right, so you get to turn on music, and, did you guys sink into a, you know, particular groove? I put on Chopin consistently.
To be clear, this plays over. You select the music and then it plays over your entire day of like sending cops out to their deaths and like dealing with horrible calls about like, you know, so and so just ripped the scalp off their mother because they. Yeah, I don't know. The music, I thought it was a fun detail that he, like, you could put on this music and you. And spoiler alert, a little bit. When you have the midlife crisis, you pass out for 20 days, you wake up, you get a cassette player. A whole new library.
Yeah, see, this game just keeps defying expectations.
It does.
But you gotta stick with it.
You gotta stick with it.
It's old.
It'd be great if this was actually just a commentary on the evolution of, like, music players. Yes. Like, you have another midlife crisis, you wake up 10 years later, you've gotten rid of all of your vinyl, but you have, like, a DVD player.
Yeah,
then you wake up in 2018, and they're like, hey, man, you should really try to get your vinyl player back.
Right. It loops around.
That'd be so satisfying.
And then that's the end. That's the end of This is the Police. It's just like a hipster telling Jack Boyd his vinyl collection has been worth, like, thousands of dollars.
Hot millennials didn't want a lot of stuff anymore.
I learned a long time ago how to drive away the swarming demons. But what do you do when they're trying to rip your soul from your skin?
I want to ask a broader, more personal question now, which is, like, having been through the grind, having been through the bigger questions of the daily decision-making of law enforcement, I feel like this brought out our inner police officers or, like, taught us a little bit about how we would navigate that job. And I'm curious how, like, the style in which you found yourself behaving as this man in charge of so many responsibilities, yet with so many burdens. Because I'll tell you, I did not hesitate to help the mafia. Really, truly, I, out of the goodness of my heart, I was
believe
like,
that.
Yeah. God damn it, Owen.
Yeah, really easy to picture you.
I, you know,
Georgia Corp.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can talk about libertarianism now or whenever, but they're entrepreneurial. They're entrepreneurial, you know. I love The Sopranos. I get it. So I was just like, yeah, and you know, like, what? Of course, someone's going to have to help them. I might as well be on their payroll. But I did not, like, I did not abide any of this bullshit, like, you have to boost your quota of how many women you have working because the feminists are mad at us, which, like, okay, that's, like, maybe a fair point in there. I hired some more women, but, like, but I was pretty corrupt, and I was pretty salty by the end of my, like, tenure in this game. I was hearing things from City Hall, like, you know, we're cutting your budget, we're not impressed. And Julia, in my head, was saying, like, yeah, what the fuck else is new? Like, go fuck yourself, Mayor. And I was like, that's what a cop thinks, I bet. That's what a real police chief.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah.
It's pretty Jack Boyd.
Exactly. It really draw. It was a very transformative game. How do you feel about, like, Officer Owen?
This game brought out, like, the impatient side of me.
Wow.
So I was just like, just send the fucking officers and just fucking hurry up and go home.
Shit.
You know what I mean? Like, end this day.
You're a hard ass. Because
you're looking at the clock. No, I think I was just like, I don't think I put the time and care into it that the Freeburg Police Department deserves, you know? Mm. Because when I played this game way back, it was like I got killed pretty early on.
Yeah, laughed
just for, like, making my own decisions and not being a puppet of the mafia.
Yeah.
So I think that right there was like, fuck this game.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I did the same thing, even though you had told me about your experience. I was like, okay, but I'm not going to do this. Like, they can't make me do this. And surprise, they do. Like, there's no way out. You have to do that.
Right.
You have choices in the game, but this ain't one of them. And the game sort of has to, I feel like that's a training mechanism. I don't like it. I think it lets you get too far. But I do think that the game, like, takes that time, that 15 days or whatever, to be like, this is a compromise you have to make. You can't play this game as a good guy.
Right. Does it remind you guys of any other game you've ever played?
There are elements. Like it's a little, slightly XCOM. It's slightly SimCity. It's slightly, it could use a little more, but it's slightly Dwarf Fortress. You guys know what Dwarf Fortress is?
What's Dwarf Fortress?
Dwarf Fortress is a game, very, very lo-fi graphics.
Yeah.
Almost no graphics.
Yeah.
If you don't do any add-ons.
It's a poker sim, right?
It's a poker sim, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
At a fake casino called the Dwarf Fortress.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, it's a game where you manage a group of dwarves and you build a fort.
Wow.
Yes. But it's famous for being like extremely lo-fi in terms of graphics, but extremely hi-fi in terms of all of the different stuff that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like each of your dwarves has a personality. And they're just these little icons on your screen. But if you go into, like, the manager and you look at the dwarf, they have personalities and, like, aspirations and, like, dreams and, like,
stats.
Jobs.
Yeah.
But stats, like, beyond stats.
Right.
Stats approaching, like, alternate universe.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so you assign them little jobs, they build their fort, and then, like, goblins come and, like, and various things happen to them in-world. And it affects the dwarves on, like, a psychological level.
Wow.
And so, like, you can go into the menu of a dwarf that was neurotic, who's, like, gone through too many goblin attacks, and he, like, won't come out of his room because he's, like, fucked by goblin attacks.
Wow.
Or, and, like, if you get far enough, like, I don't know, you can build a sewer and, like, hippos can infest your sewer, or, like, if your fort gets big enough, neighboring, like, royalty comes and visits your fort, and, like, your dwarfs get, like, stuck up. It's
hippos.
Yes, hippos. Yeah. Well, they discovered that hippos like sewers. They're just random hippos in the world, but they like...
So this is like This Is the Police, yeah.
I missed the hippo quest.
Oh, yeah.
The hippo screams something racist, and then,
yeah,
and then you get there, and your cops have to choose whether to taser them or... Right. Okay, real quick tangent.
And they get away. Yeah.
Did you guys notice that taser was always the right option, except for one time?
Oh, when was it the wrong time?
Well, I sent my best cop...
usually the right.
It's always right. It's like your options are always like, stop, this is the police! Like, like trip the guy with your like kooky antics, or like taser him. And the correct option is always taser the guy. Yeah, the only time it wasn't right was when I sent my top cop, Fischenbach, out.
Oh. What happened to Fischenbach?
Well, he got shot in the face with a shotgun. Because he went to a laundromat that was
minus,
a front...
Minus 10.
I know.
Guys, I want to actually following up on that. Is there a death that weighs on your conscience? It almost sounds like Fischenbach might have tripped your circuits.
Yeah, Fischenbach was tough. He had a 1,500 effectiveness rating.
Yeah. Oh, wow, 1,500. He was
worth 15 regular cops.
That's ridiculous.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, mine was no Fischenbach. But I hired a young Italian man named Giuliano. And because I wanted to, I wanted to empower him. And I was happy that he had a good effectiveness rating, but he had a lot of potential also.
Yeah, what kind of numbers did he get?
Two something, I don't know.
Two something?
He was just starting out, Aaron.
Fischenbach.
Fischenbach is an old, salty, racist piece of shit. I can already tell. Anyway, I put Giuliano, on the force.
You put Rudy out there.
And he, I mean,
I'm on
he...
the force, I don't know. So what if I am on the force? There's nothing wrong with that.
I never said it was on the force.
I never said it was on the force.
Well, fuck. I was going to tell you about Giuliano, and I guess I'll just wrap it up by saying...
Sure, what happened to him?
He improved exponentially. I was invested in him personally because I scouted him out. And then I sent him to deal with a man who was tripping on acid and was fighting a cat. And he died.
Whoa. Who killed him? The druggie or the cat?
The druggie.
Okay.
He was hallucinating and thought the cat was a tiger, but it was just a cat. But he was very dangerous because he was on a lot of drugs.
Right.
So, yeah, it sits with me to this day.
It's too bad.
And then there's another death that weighs on my conscience that I kind of just want to get off my chest. Did either of you set a mafia trap to have an officer killed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did too, and it was weird for me. This woman, Purdy, I think her name was.
Mm-hmm.
I hired her. She shows up the first day of work and says, I'm calling out. I don't want to be here. And she goes home. And I say, fuck you, bitch.
Killed?
No, what?
Jesus Christ.
What happened?
I had her killed by the mafia.
Jesus.
Well, but to be fair, I tried to fire her, but the text was like, there's no reason to fire her legally. You know, she's only called out one day.
Right.
But it was her first day, and she made such a bad impression on me that I was like, Sans?
Yeah.
I need you to cook me up a trap. And he was like, you got it. Anything for you, Boyd. And so she walked into a trap. She was assassinated by the mafia. And then I kept her, I kept us from filing the paperwork to declare her dead so I could keep taking her salary.
Right, right. That's an option that the police gives you is to
And it was kind of chilling because I had to see her face pop up in my roster.
Yeah, you got to look at their face.
Grayed out knowing that she was dead.
It's a phantom cop on your roster that you're taking the salary of. It's not even that much money. It's like $300 if you can find it.
She made shit for money. I'll tell you that much.
Well, she was a new hire.
Well, she shouldn't have called out the fucking first day.
Look, Purdy?
Nothing could be as important as going to your first day of work. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I think you were better off for it because Purdy snitched on me later in the game.
Your cops can snitch on you?
Yeah, Purdy was a snitch.
Well, then she needs to die. Did you have her killed?
See, I thought it was a guy, but maybe it was a different Purdy. What's that?
Purdy's a woman.
Yeah, maybe I had a different Purdy.
Nope. Purdy's a woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, great. I couldn't tell from the little portrait, but
good.
Apologies. And, but I shouldn't be apologizing because I didn't have her fucking murdered, even though she was she ratted me out to the feds, and I didn't kill her.
She called out sick and had her killed.
Nope. Absolutely.
But you were better off for it. So.
Owen, did you do anything that you had a hard time sitting with after?
Every time I would start to get invested in a particular officer, they would just like, they would just die a drunk driving accident. And like, I didn't even think they were doing that bad. Yeah. But it was just like, nope. Officer Price, the like old lady that you didn't think was going to be a problem. One of your lower maintenance officers. Nope. She's
You can't be old lady on the force.
Yeah.
Because she was low maintenance.
Yeah, and I sent her to the night.
She's not going
to
get me into trouble. Yeah. She's going on B shit.
A nightclub needs you to like send some backup over. I sent her down. I thought it would be fun.
The flavor text is like, send to someone who can tell who's cool.
I sent her. So I was like, yeah, this will be good for her self-esteem.
This old school marble.
And she died.
She's killed. Wow.
How's the back today, Mr. Boyd?
Same as usual.
How did the press conference go?
I love to think about if they make a stupid This Is the Police movie and they take it fucking seriously and it's like tone deaf.
Okay.
And all of the things that are like funny and like endearing about it, you know, they cut from the final edit. It's a serious movie about a guy, a cop, wrestling with his morality like late in his career. And the writing is mwah, just as you'd expect. Just the same as it is in here. Who do you want to see go through the movie as Jack Boyd, for example? I was going to say that I feel really strongly that like when they make this movie in 10 years, they have Tim Allen gain like 40 pounds.
Tim Allen.
And they have like fat Tim Allen play Jack Boyd. And he wins an Oscar for it.
Because
I don't know much about Tim Allen, but what I do know
is he would be so psyched.
He's kind of got like a psychotic white dude thing going on.
No, if somebody asked Tim Allen to play like a hard boiled, like noir ish detective, I think police chief.
Yeah.
He would just be all about it. No one would ever ask him to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'll end by saying Dame Maggie Smith as the mother-in-law, Mrs. Margo.
Maggie Smith.
Wow. Who's going to be too old in 10 years, really? But she'll do it anyway.
Class up. Sure. Make it 5 and she can do it.
She'll just be like, now sitting here on this ugly pool.
Didn't realize the Freeburg police chief
was so racist.
Laura, if you've stopped loving me, I'll let you go.
Okay, now it's big thinking time. I want, none of us have played This Is the Police 2. What do you hope is in that fucking game?
Well, I mean, know what you hope for, which is romance.
A sex scene. Like
yeah, a lot of special.
Really,
yeah.
An NSFW.
Which I feel like would not be unreasonable for him to include.
Yeah.
You want a dude who's really mean to you for like the first 20% of the game.
Yeah.
And then who all of a sudden like starts to be nice to you for some reason.
Yeah.
And then he takes his shirt off and he's like, ripped.
You are describing our courtship, Aaron.
No, I'm not. Describing the courtship that you had with Drake in Choices.
Oh, that's what you're about. You didn't neg me for a couple months?
No, again, you're replacing our history with the history of you and Drake in book 1 and 2 of A Royal Romance.
Yeah, I thought Aaron sent you links to like Team Fortress 2 articles.
He did, yeah.
Very different. Very different moves.
Okay, so that's what I hope for. Oh, and what would make This Is the Police 2, like, a great fucking tag for you? Either a mechanism?
A hacking minigun. No. Yeah. Just kidding. Just kidding.
A lot of pipes.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
Pipe hacking.
This is, like, a really simple minor adjustment. But what I was saying before was that I don't really know how Jack Boyd feels about a lot of the decisions he makes on a daily basis. So maybe just give him a little inner monologue.
Mm.
But it wouldn't have to be much. And, like, have him say the officers' names. Just have them be a little more real. Have them be a little more tangible.
I love that.
So just be like, yeah, Officer Price should take care of this nicely. Or what was the name of your officer?
Fischenbach.
Fischenbach. Drunk again. Just like...
Oh, he was never drunk.
Okay, bad example.
51.500 effectiveness rating. Like 15 yeah. regular men in one bespectacle. Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
If I could get more into this guy's head and really understand him more as a character, I think it would go a long way for me.
Mm. See, I think that's revealing about the writing in This Is the Police, because of course, all the cutscenes have a literal inner monologue.
Yeah, but they feel...
They feel separate. They reveal specific things about his backstory, but it's separated from the gameplay, you're right, in a big way.
I didn't even think about that, but that's true.
And I agree that having a little more... like, reactivity in the gameplay, like, having, I don't know, just little touches. Like for instance, when you have those choices, when you send your cops out, and then they're dealing with the situation, and you have a choice to say, you should taser him, or you should, like, run after the nudist and, like, spank them, or, like, whatever choice you make. There's no resolution in those. Did you guys notice this?
Yeah. Right.
That, like, after your final choice, it just tells you, okay, did you arrest the guy? Were your cops hurt? Were civilians hurt?
Right. Or, yeah.
It doesn't say, like, okay, you run after him, you smack his ass.
Right. And then, it's either, like, the perp got away or you got him.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And, like, a little quality of life thing of just telling me what happened would be fun and would make me more want to do that.
Yeah.
Because
of the broad characterizations. It keeps me feeling like everything in the game in your day to day is happening at arm's length. Like I'm not there. I'm not in it. I'm just sort of reading it, and it's like I'm not really actually controlling these things.
Yeah.
You know, like I know Jack Boyd is supposed to be the one, but I'm not in his head.
But Owen, maybe this is the police. Like maybe this is how you do this job, by disconnecting and dissociating, because it's a hard job. Maybe you don't see the outcome. Because you're just on to the next thing.
Yeah, maybe.
This is the police.
You're literally not there. I mean, Jack Boyd, himself, the character, is looking at a model of the city. He's not out on the calls.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. We've suspended our disbelief this far. Like, why not give us a little, you know? Yeah,
this is the police.
It is and it isn't.
I don't know how many situations can we say that and it makes any fucking sense.
Put a question mark after it and it's a whole different game. Aaron, what do you want to see in the second game? Take us home. Take us out of here.
What I want to see in the second game. I agree. I don't have any earth shaking. I think a mechanic whereby, like, give it 50% more XCOM and 50% more Dwarf Fort. And, like, I'll be there for it. Give me a mechanic whereby, right, exactly, like, Boyd becomes attached to the cops, or, like, or the cops have, like, have relationships they form with the cops they get sent out with, and they start to, like, hate some other cops, or, like, love some other cops, you know? Like, make that slightly deeper.
The worst thing is, I know I'm gonna have to do something. I'll be damned if I know how far I'll go.
I can't wait to keep playing this game. I really can't. I know that that's not a... I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do with what they've set up. Even though it's imperfect and weird and, like, racially uncomfortable, and I'll never play it on the subway because there's... That would be...
No.
I would be worried.
No.
About, like, what people would think I was doing. I'm excited to see, like, what... Yeah. They've added stuff at a rate that I'm like, I think you've got more tricks up your sleeve. And I don't know that you won't disappoint me, but maybe you won't.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That was very Jack Boyd.
Really?
No, I think it was better than Jack Boyd.
Yeah, you're right. It was better than Jack
Boyd. I'll take as good as Jack Boyd any day of the week.
So, yeah, if you enjoy managing
an office.
Yeah.
If you enjoy staff management and issues of budget. and bureaucracy.
But.
And feeling like a helpless cog.
Yes, being torn between like 8 assholes at once.
Yeah.
And having to appease all of them halfway.
If you enjoy feeling like your morals are compromised.
Yes, continually.
To please others and keep your job. Mm-hmm. This game is for you.
It's called being successful, though. That's anyone in a position of power. And like, you know, glass houses, my friend.
Yeah, seriously. This is being successful.
This is. I'm going to make a follow-up. This is successful. And it's just you, like, in an office. And you don't even know what you do for a living, except you make $800,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make a lot of, like, horrible decisions that hurt you. But at the end, you got a house in the Hamptons, and you don't give a fuck.
That sounds thrilling.
That's literally my dream. Is to just do the best I can and make a lot of money.
This is Julia's life. Yeah, it's a great game.
I feel good about that.
It's a great
game. I feel good about
that. Well, that was The Police. How do you think you'd do in Jack Boyd's shoes? Tweet us at ControllerPod and let us know your best noir similes. Do you think you'd be a cop that keeps his nose cleaner than a gob of toothpaste in a bleach storm? Or do you think you'd become a cop dirtier than the gunk at the bottom of the popcorn machine inside Satan's movie theater's butthole? Wow, it's actually really hard to write these similes. I'm sorry I made fun of you, This is The Police. Tune in next time for a horror film sleepover game best played with the lights down low and the volume up high, Until Dawn. Can we save all the hot teens?